Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. This week, honk if you love justice. Wes brings the case against his friend Adam. He says Adam's too eager to lay on the horn when he sees bad driving. Adam says he's just practicing defensive driving. Who's right? Who's wrong? Only one man can decide. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom.
Today's cultural reference is an audio cultural reference. Listen carefully. Swear them in, Jesse.
Please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or whatever?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that the horn button on his car lays down a sweet oil slick?
Yeah, I do.
I do as well.
Very well, Judge Hodgman.
It's sweet oil, specifically. I mean, yeah. You will go off the road, but if you happen to taste it, it's pretty sweet.
It tastes good. It's nice for making dressings.
It is, but a little too sweet.
Yeah.
Wes and Adam, you may be seated for an immediate summary judgment in one of yours favors. Can either of you name the sound that you heard as I entered the courtroom? I'm looking for a very specific answer.
It was distorted a little bit by Skype, but no, I can't.
You're going to blame
no idea
was... Skype?
I'm blaming Skype, yeah.
I can see you guys are
I'm
both
blaming cranked. Skype as well, and my iPhone. I mean my phone.
All right, so you're both wrong. And you're both in contempt of court. You have to make a guess. I'll play it for you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I could listen to that all day long. Wes, can you guess?
Is it some sort of car alarm?
No. Adam, can you guess?
Sounds like some kind of action in a factory or something like that.
Oh, you are wrong. Action in a factory is not something that happens.
I don't know what to call it.
That it
machines working.
Factory.
machines that, working in a factory.
That sounds like the long lost record by the band whose name I'm forgetting. Who did Reach the Beach, Jesse?
Reach the beach.
One thing leads to another. Reach the Beach album.
The Fix.
That's it. Right. Action in a Factory was their lost 1984 album. No, the answer is, gentlemen.
It sounds like a really solid pitch to Mark Wahlberg's production company.
You mean Action in a Factory or that sound?
Neither one.
All right. Mark, sit down. Sit down. You are going to love this. You ready? This is my pitch. Yeah, I think we'll make it. I think it sounds good.
Can I take my shirt off?
I hear that Lone Survivor is very good, by the way. I hear it's a very, very powerful movie. So I don't want to, you know.
Hey, I love Marky Mark. I think that guy's awesome.
That guy's been in a lot of things. He's done a lot of work. The thing about Marky Mark, he's always trying something new. He's always stretching. You can't be mad at him for very long.
No, because he's so charming.
All right. Well, the answer, gentlemen, is that sound is a klaxon. KLAXON is a very particular kind of horn sound. Specifically, that is the klaxon alarm that is played on the British quiz show hosted by Stephen Fry called QI for Quite Interesting when someone answers a question incorrectly. And in fact, that sound was played when Alan on the show guessed that sound was called a klaxon and he got it wrong. Why? Because klaxon is actually a brand name. It is a very specific what the generic sound we call a klaxon, awooga, 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 actually was a brand name. It was invented by Miller Reese Hutchison in 1908 and then licensed and bought out by the Level McConnell Manufacturing Company of Newark, New Jersey. And for that reason, Stephen Fry and the QI Elves decided that it could not actually be called a klaxon, that what they were playing was a generic siren of some kind, which I only presume that they're afraid of being sued out of existence by the non-existent klaxon company. But in any case, that's what that auga, 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 that's a very famous sound that's called a klaxon, and it was once a brand name, and you are all wrong. So now I have to hear this dumb case. Wes, you bring the yes, case sir. Against Adam. You guys are pals. How old are you?
I'm 22.
And Adam, how old are you?
I'm also 22, but slightly older.
All right. And and since you, the time, and you're not brothers, you're friends from college?
Friends from high school and middle school.
Oh, where did you go to high school and middle school?
To the Marblehead High School and the Marblehead Veterans Middle School.
And you are pronouncing Marblehead with an accent that I believe is affected in order to give some hometown pride to your native talking.
Surprisingly enough, no one from Marblehead really says it that way.
How do you That's actually say it in real life?
Marblehead.
You actually say Marblehead. Marblehead. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Well, in real life, I say Marblehead.
Marblehead. But... All right. So you weren't affecting. That's how you talk.
You probably don't even hear
that accent yourself.
I don't even know if he has that accent. I just think he does it for show.
That's not true.
There's an old Massachusettsian joke about the late Governor Peabody that there were three towns in Massachusetts named after him. One of them is Peabody, Massachusetts. The other is Marblehead. Get it? Get it? He's a dummy. Get it?
Oh.
And the third is the real life Commonwealth town of Athol, Massachusetts. Athol, Athol, Massachusetts.
Athol.
Athol. Have you been to Athol? That's in Western Massachusetts.
My dad always brings up the old BC radio morning zoo joke about Peter Falk from Colombo visiting Athol, Massachusetts. And they always, I guess the punchline of it was, Falk in Athol, anytime we drive by that.
Oh, gosh, there's the klaxon. We're out of time. Good luck, you two. We had a good time talking about QI and Stephen Fry and klaxons and Massachusetts and Peter Falk and so on, but we've run out of time. No, the problem is, Wes, that your friend Adam makes a noise. The noise is the honking of a car horn, which he does a lot. Is that not so?
This is true.
Tell me more about that.
Well, it's not so much when he honks the car horn, although I do think he honks it too frequently, but it's more when if he and I are driving around our suburban Boston hometown, and someone does something when I'm driving, if someone does something that would bother Adam, he'll reach over and honk the horn for me.
I can't even hear what you're saying because I am so enwrapped with your beautiful North Shore accent. Now that I hear it, I'm like, oh, this guy. Actors around the world, listen to Wes talk. This guy's got it. That's a beautiful North Shore accent. Because everyone thinks that the Boston accent is like, I'm not going to embarrass myself by doing it, but like, park the car, like really like raspy, like Bill Burr. But then there's the North Shore accent, which is, It has that Marblehead, but it's like now I'm doing a Kennedy. Like I can't, you know, because it's one of my great shames in life that I'm from Massachusetts, I'm from Brookline, and I can't even imitate a greater Boston or Massachusettsian accent. But you're giving me the true Jim Kenefick, the beautiful, like flinty, but still round man of the people, but patrician. That accent is fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
You're very. Oh, listen to that, everybody. I just. Oh, what is your job? Are you in broadcasting?
Oh, I wish, but no, I am not. I'm a student.
Where? What are you a student of?
A student of French language and culture.
Can you speak French?
I can, yes. I'm not going to embarrass myself.
With a North Shore accent? Can you say, I parked the car in Harvard Yard in French?
I could, but it wouldn't sound... It wouldn't be worth hearing.
If you don't do it, I'm going to find in favor of Adam, and there will be stiff penalties.
Well, you're putting me on the spot now.
I'm not saying you have to do it right this second. You work on the translation while I berate your friend.
All right, sounds good.
Adam, are you also from Marblehead?
Yeah, I'm from Marblehead as well.
Yeah, but you talk like a normal person.
Yeah, I guess so. I've never really felt like I had any sort of accent at all.
No, you don't. Where's your family from?
My mom is from Brooklyn, and my dad is from the area a little bit closer to Boston. He grew up around Brookline as well, and also Randolph mm-hmm. and Mattapan.
Yeah, okay, I got you. I can hear a little New England in there. But where is your mom from in Brooklyn? Your mom was from Brooklyn and your dad was from around Brookline. You are like me, sir, a child of two worlds. And now where are you in the world?
Where am I in the world? I'm in New Orleans right now.
In New Orleans, and what are you doing there?
I am a student at Tulane University.
In what subject?
I'm an economics and film studies major.
Are you an undergraduate? Are you getting your bachelor's degree at Tulane?
Yeah, I'm getting my bachelor's degree in both. This is my last semester.
Very well. And I presume you spent 17 years in college, because going to college in New Orleans must be the most fun thing in the world.
Yeah, it really is.
All right. So now what Wes said to me is that you honk the horn very aggressively, and that to the point where you will sometimes, if you are the passenger in the car and Wes is driving, you will honk the horn on his behalf. That is monstrous on its face. But I'm going to give you a moment to defend yourself. What would a situation be that would merit your interrupting the operation of a motor vehicle in order to express yourself through honking?
Well, I try to be as minimally invasive as possible. I try to maneuver my hand in a way where it's not going to mess up his steering wheel motions, but the situation
you
that
understand
would
that there
is
no logic to what you just said. Right, you can't connect the phrase I try to be as minimally invasive as possible logically with the I then interrupt his driving of a car to honk on his behalf. Right, you have already gone too far. So I don't want to hear about your method of putting your lives and the lives of others at risk. I want to know why you do it. What is a situation that in your mind would merit such an unusual act? Or is it usual, sir? Do you do it all the time? You are driving around. You are the passenger in Wes's car. Someone cuts you off.
Okay.
Do you honk?
Okay, well, the situation
the
usually... Right, yeah, the
it's
situation
a simple question,
is usually
sir.
That...
Yes or no?
Yes.
Oui ou non?
Oui.
Ouais.
Ouais. Yeah, slanging it up.
Ouais.
So, so someone cuts you off in a way that you find unacceptable. You would honk even if Wes did not honk. Even if Wes were driving the car, you would reach over and honk.
Yes, especially if it's in a dangerous manner.
And what do you hope to accomplish by that? You want to make everything more dangerous?
Well, I find that Wes doesn't use his horn at all. I can't remember an instance where he has used his horn, so it's kind of my way of getting him to realize that the horn is there for a reason.
What is that reason?
So that other people are aware that you're there, and sometimes it comes across as a little bit aggressive, but mainly I just want to keep him and I safe, and whoever else is in the car too.
Now, maybe I'm misunderstanding the timeline here.
Okay.
If someone has cut you off, and now they are ahead of you, and they've come too close, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you reach over and honk, but it's been but the infraction has occurred.
That's correct.
So how is letting them know you are there help?
You raise a good point there. But it's also for Wes's benefit as well, I'll say, because he needs to know that in those times of potential injury, he needs to be honking the horn.
He needs to know that if you're in the car, you might do anything at any time. You are stand at the ready to relieve him of command at any moment. All right.
Yeah.
Let's say you're driving, Adam.
Okay. All right.
What would merit a honk from you? What situations?
Generally, okay, so cutting off is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
People making turns at incorrect times. Massachusetts can be a little bit dicey on the road, especially in times like this where it's wintry weathering. Those are pretty much most of the things that I can think of. I'm not really super aggressive. I don't lay on the horn when people are going too slow or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly just instances where a crash could potentially occur. And I admit that sometimes I let my frustration get the best of me and I will honk after the fact.
And after the fact honk of rebuke.
Yes, exactly.
A rage honk.
Slightly delayed. As
I wouldn't be. I wouldn't know what I am talking about if I were not guilty of this myself from time to time. So you should feel safe, okay, in admitting what you are admitting.
Okay,
but you're a monster, Wes. How often does this go on?
I'm sorry.
Adam is there saying that he honks to ensure the safety of himself.
Mm-hmm.
How aggressive a honker is he? Paint me a word picture, Wes. Doesn't have to be in French.
Okay, good. He's a mildly aggressive honker. He's a mildly aggressive driver, by and large. He does a lot of things on the road that that tend to bother me or embarrass me.
Tell
I guess.
Me more. Because I just listen to you talk all day, honestly.
I have a few stories. I've got a few interesting anecdotes. There was one time.
By the way, if you would ever like to tell them, we'd love to have you back on the podcast sometime. No, actually, now would be a good time. Let's go.
All right. Sounds good. So there was one instance where we were driving from Marblehead to Salem, and on a main-ish road, and there were three young teenagers on skateboards in the middle of the road. I don't know why they were out. It was almost midnight, but they were out skateboarding, and they were right in the middle of the road,
mm-hmm.
and we pulled up, or Adam's driving, and he pulls up right behind them, and they're still just skateboarding down the road. And instead of what I would have done in that situation, which is a friendly toot-toot to say, please move, mm-hmm. he leaned on the horn for a good 30 seconds, just a constant honk, until they turned at the next intersection.
Now, wait a second there,
seconds?
Marblehead. I'm not sure... I'm not sure you're aware of what 30 seconds really is. Do you really
Seriously?
Mean 30 seconds? Because this is 30 seconds. So you want to take that again before you lie to me again?
Your Honor, I didn't lie. I misjudged time. It was maybe
Well, why should I believe anything you say? Just because you are a smooth North Shore talker?
Maybe. That would be nice. Yeah.
Don't make me refuse. My circular breathing is really out of practice. How you do for me, not in French, just do me the honk that he put on those kids. The honkert that he put on them.
All right. Just trying to think of when we encountered them.
I don't care. I just honked for 30 seconds. You imitate his honk. Skateboard kids in the middle of the road. Adam's honk. Go.
This is from Wendy's to the intersection. Oh, sorry. I just buzz marketed. This is from a burger fast food area.
You know
to
what?
The
I love it. Specificity is the soul of narrative. From Wendy's to the intersection. Let me hear it.
All right. Jesus.
Wait a minute. Stop. Stop. Stop.
Yes.
Now, let me just make sure that I understand. Were you trying to honk for 30 seconds because you thought that's what I was asking you to do? Or were you imitating Adam's length of honk?
I was imitating his length of honk. It was a good 15 to 20 seconds. Now, I was about to end.
You know what? If I were you, sir, I would leave units of time alone at this point.
That's fair enough. But I was imitating. I was about to end before.
Yeah, no, okay. I got the K in there. Yeah, I gotcha. That's a long honk. Adam, did you...
It was a very long honk.
Is that a good imitation or a bad imitation of this particular situation?
Despite Wes's issues with intervals of time, it was, I'd say, about 5 to 10 seconds. I remember the incident in question. And that's another thing I forgot to mention, is that skateboarders and bikers are also commonly something
honked
that I honk
at. Thing? Yeah.
They're all commonly
so you do your
at
version
thing, exactly.
So, all right, here we go. You're at the Wendy's.
Okay.
I could be referring to any business. You're at the Wendy's. Skateboarders at you in the middle of the road. What time of day or night is it?
Around midnight.
Around midnight. You're driving.
Right.
Honk. Do it. Go.
Okay. Something
so
like that.
So Wes was right.
That was about 5 seconds.
Yeah. It was much longer than that.
You know what? That was
5 seconds.
And what did the skateboarders do? Did they fall off their skateboards and die under your wheels in fright?
That
actually,
would be nice.
As soon as he started honking, and this is more in his favor than mine, as soon as he started honking, they all simultaneously raised their middle fingers to us in the car.
Yep, that's right.
Of course they did. Of course they did. Yeah. Because that was not a, by the way, guys, I'm here with my friend Wes. You better get out of the middle of the road because we have a vehicle that can kill you. That was... That was pure rage. Pure rage.
I don't know
because
about pure
you hate,
rage.
Because you hate teenagers.
I do hate teenagers.
I think we may have still been teenagers at that moment.
We probably were.
Look, it doesn't matter. I hate those teenagers. They were in the middle of the road. Teenagers in the middle of the road on skateboards, of course you hate them. Because they are breaking the rules. And they're in front of, they're on a place where you're supposed to be driving. And you, Adam, are a person who is insecure and you feel utterly impotent. Because you are in a car that can kill them, and they don't care. And therefore, you're going to express your rage by laying on the horn. You are not alerting them to your presence. You are attempting a feeble revenge upon them. And indeed, a dangerous one. Because how many teenagers were there? About 30? Was it a teenage skateboard gang? Was it the Warriors? No, what was the Warriors?
There were three.
It was like 3 or 4. And they were spread out across a...
Yeah, it was a gang of
super
roller
busy
skaters.
Intersection.
And did they get out of the way or did they then brake check you? Like those creepy bikers did to that poor family on the West Side Highway. That's the most offensive thing to have happened in my city of New York, that all of those bikers are not in jail right now. Did you read about that? This may not have hit the national news.
No, I didn't.
A club uh-huh. of young motorcycle enthusiasts decided to shut down traffic on the West Side Highway, and they got mad when a normal citizen wanted to use the highway for what it is there for and was driving on it, and the bikers, they brake checked him. They pulled right up in front of him and slowed down purposely to bring him to a stop on the highway. And then they started yelling at him, and he moved over and knocked over one of their bikes and ran over one of them, which then ensued in a chase of 15 or more bikers chasing this family down and pulling the guy out and beating him. And you know what? No one should run over anybody on the road. Do you know? No one should run over anybody on the road. But he had a wife and a child in the car, and he was surrounded by bikes who had stopped him on the West Side Highway for reasons that he probably didn't even understand. He didn't know that they wanted to have their club wheelie meeting or whatever there. Because it makes me so mad. And some of them were undercover police officers, and I have not heard a thing, a lick of justice in this situation at all. And the point I'm trying to make to you, I'm just moving ahead to the verdict at this point. The point I'm trying to make is that this is a lawless land out there, you know, and
it's those
teenagers were flouting the essential lawlessness of a suburban greater Boston area road at midnight between the Wendy's and the intersection. There is no law. Your car belongs there, but if they say, no, this is our skateboard park now, there's nothing you can do. That's what makes teenagers so annoying. Because they're flouting the law, and you got mad, and you honked that horn, and they gave you the middle finger, but it could have gone worse. Couldn't it have, Wes?
I can only imagine. It could have, probably. he could have distracted them so much with his horn honking that they fell over and he accidentally ran them over. And then we'd be having this this Skype call from a prison, I would imagine.
I know, because the two of you would have gone to prison together. Wes would have.
I'm just extrapolating.
Wes would have gone down with you. No, it's true. I mean, you know, you were putting aggression onto the road, and you never know what's going to happen when that happens, even though you're in the car. You know, those guys got skateboards. They could have thrown a skateboard at your windshield. I'm saying this as a guy who, when I got my driver's license late at the age of 19, liked to drive around Boston late at night, and two dudes walked out of a nightclub at 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And I drove around just because I was like, I can do this. Like, I can be around. I am in a capsule of safety. I can go and see Boston in the middle of the night. And two dudes came out of a nightclub, and they drunkenly walked right out into the middle of the street, and I had to come to a screeching halt. And I was so mad. I did not honk the horn. I was so mad and freaked out and dumb that I felt I needed to remind these two dudes that who were just like, they were, you know, completely unthreatening, fratty BC dudes. Like, they weren't tough guys. Do you know what I mean? But I need to remind them, excuse me, gentlemen, I am in a Subaru Loyale. And so they stood there staring at me, you know, in that lawless world between the Wendy's and the intersection. They stood there staring at me. I'd come to a screeching halt. They were in the middle of a city street that they walked out into without a care in the world. They stared at me angrily, and I just lifted the brake gently until I nudged one of their shins. This one of the stupidest things I've ever done in my life. Oof. And guess what? This did not resolve the situation. It made them really mad. And one guy got so mad that he lifted his fist and he smashed it down onto the hood of my mom's Subaru Loyale. He dented it. I think he probably hurt himself very badly. And his friend walked him away and he yelled at me and I drove on. I never explained to my mom and dad how that dent got into the car, but it was there for the rest of its, my mom's natural life and its natural life. It's one of many great Subaru Loyale stories I got. So you see what I'm getting at here? Do I need to hear any more? Do I even need to go into my chambers?
I can illustrate. I have several other illustrative stories.
Give me one more.
All right. This actually pertains to the motorcycle story that you were talking about earlier, which I hadn't heard about. I guess it didn't reach us in Western Mass, but there was...
Well, you're not in Western Mass.
Yes, I am.
Marblehead?
Oh, no. I'm not in Marblehead right now.
Oh, where are you now?
I'm in Amherst.
Oh, all right.
I go to the University of Massachusetts.
Lovely.
Go Minutemen.
I was trying so hard to remember what the sports team was there.
The Minutemen, yes. Football is terrible. Basketball is doing all right.
That's all I needed to hear was, I just like the name. I like the names of the teams. I don't want to know anything about anything else.
Fair enough.
All right, so you're out there in Western Massachusetts.
Well, this takes place back in Marblehead. See, I don't see him in Western.
This is a dizzying tour of the Commonwealth that I'm getting. I love your voice, but you got to work on your getting to the pointsness.
That's fair. This happens a few times. Anytime that we're driving around, it's happened before, and it probably will happen again. Is if when we're driving around Marblehead, Salem, Swampscott, whatever. If someone is tailgating Adam, if someone is right up on his, rear, Adam will slow down the car so much that eventually the other person will just pass him as some sort of passive-aggressive show of, I don't know what, vengeance, I guess.
On what kind of road are we talking about? A two-lane?
Generally a two-lane, quiet, suburban road, generally late at night, so it's not super dangerous, but
I'm just trying to get a picture. So are we talking about a kind of like Adam would be forcing the person behind him to pass him over a double yellow line?
Yes.
Into oncoming traffic in order to get around.
Potentially.
Well, yeah, I mean, not that there is necessarily cars inbound, but into another lane of travel.
Yes.
Yeah. Adam, when you do this dumb thing, does the person behind you flash his or her high beams at you to get you to speed up?
Yeah, that definitely happens.
It's like this is like the true meeting. Like I would just love to I'd love to have a repeating GIF. A meme of just this, of the two worst drivers in the world. The tailgater who comes up and flashes, and the person who brake checks out of spite. But guess what, Adam? Since this is just a rolling verdict this week. Bailiff Jesse's taking a nap. I'm gonna do a snap judgment right here. You know who's worse between the two of you? Tailgater. Tailgater's the worst.
Yeah, that's never been my, tool of aggression on the road. I'm not a headlight flasher, and I'm not a tailgater. Oh. I'd also like to say that I've never hit anyone's shin or anyone's body part, for that matter.
Whoa.
is that true, Wes, or no? Or is he just antagonizing this court?
He has never hit anyone, but he's also antagonizing the court.
Have you... Adam, just because I don't like the tailgater by a fraction of a degree more than I don't like your behavior doesn't mean that your behavior is good. I mean, I'll come back to tailgating in a minute. All right, how many accidents have you been in, Adam?
I actually have only been in a single accident, and it was the other person's fault. Seriously, they ran a red light.
Sure, I understand that. It happens.
Okay. Wes has been at, if I may, Wes has been in, I don't think he hasn't been in more than one unless something else happened, but that one was his fault. Although kind of, there's a story behind that one as well where it's kind of my fault.
Well, now I have to hear it.
You cut his brake lines, and then...
It was something along those lines.
No, it's not that dramatic.
No.
It's not that dramatic.
I didn't feel he was going fast enough, so I climbed down to his ankles and started pushing on the accelerator.
No,
technically, he was the driver.
It's actually indirectly his fault. It is mostly my fault, and I took responsibility for it, and I paid off the damage to my father's car. But I was driving around Marblehead late at night. I had just gotten my license late at 18.
Yeah,
and
I love this story.
Thank you. No, but I was driving around, and I made the mistake of checking my phone to look at a picture message that Adam had sent me.
Uh-huh.
And it was of a particularly goofy-looking Jeopardy contestant. And I laughed, and I accidentally swerved a little bit, and I sideswiped a tree.
Oh, so...
A tree?
You went off the road.
Wait, how did you get all the way to a tree?
Well, it...
Jesse, this is Marblehead late at night. The trees come alive.
The trees are right next to the road.
The tree was very close to the road.
Was there a curb?
There was no curb, no.
No.
Jesse, were you just driving in a forest?
Pretty much.
Like
pretty
on
much.
A dried up creek bed?
I may as well have been. It's not rural per se, but the trees are pretty close to the road.
Jesse grew up in San Francisco. He lives in Los Angeles. He's a Western person. He's a man of the West.
He doesn't understand.
I completely can see. Yeah, the trees are they're a menace, frankly.
Exactly.
You know, we got old trees. You know, not like your newfangled mm-hmm. redwoods out there, Jesse. We got mature trees that think they own the road.
Mm-hmm.
Describe finally a situation, Wes, where Adam honked the horn while you were driving.
It's generally if someone has cut me off. If I was in the driver's seat during the skateboarding incident, he most certainly would have reached over.
This has happened, right? This is not a hypothetical. Oh, he has done it.
Oh, absolutely.
So can you tell me about a time? You can't think of a time. You didn't prepare.
I can't think of a specific incident. It's happened so often that I can't distinguish between incidences anymore.
Oh, okay. I understand. Have you prepared your translation of I parked the car in Harvard Yard?
Oh, yes, I did.
All right, let's hear it.
I almost forgot about that. I might be pronouncing this verb wrong, but je gare les voitures au jardin de Harvard.
Okay, I've heard everything I need to hear. I am going to go through my drive-through chambers. I will be back in a moment with my decision.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Wes, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good right now. I think I made my point well, and the judge seemed to be on my side for most of it, although I know that sometimes when it seems that way, the decisions tend to go the opposite way. So, but I'm feeling good.
Adam, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling better than I thought I would. I was glad that the judge had some similar experiences to me, and in the case that he gave us, his actions were actually more severe than mine. So hopefully that factors into his decision.
To be fair, you're a maniac. Well, guys, we'll see what the judge has to say when we come back with his decision in just a minute. You're listening to Judge John Hodgman. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. Of course, the Judge John Hodgman podcast, always brought to you by you, the members of MaximumFun.org. Thanks to everybody who's gone to MaximumFun.org/join, and you can join them by going to MaximumFun.org/join. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom.
That, my friends, is a bosun's whistle that I happen to have on my desk, which I suggest, Adam, you drive around with from now on. As a way of expressing your anger at the world when things don't go exactly the way you want them to in the car. A loud, piercing sound that you can hear that will get it out of your system so you do not put yourself in danger. But I make that suggestion. I do not make that order. If you are alone in the car, You may honk at your discretion, because honking, like flashing headlights, is one of two and exclusive and very limited ways that drivers can communicate with one another if they don't have cell phones or the ability to moon one another or visual contact via finger-to-finger contact, eye contact. And it is occasionally necessary to communicate to another vehicle. The horn is there for a reason. It is to, the proper use of the horn is to indicate to other drivers and the world around you, I am here, don't collide with me. I am behind you, don't collide with me. You're doing something wrong and you are putting me in danger. Please don't hurt me. An improper use of the horn would be using it to say, I hate you. I hate you a lot for 5 seconds or 30 seconds. For a very simple reason that has nothing to do with etiquette. The car horn is designed to communicate danger. When my wife had her first car, people would honk at her, and she didn't know why. They would honk and drive by and point at her car that she had bought off of a yard in Springs, New York, for a dollar. Didn't even have a key. Didn't have a door key. It was an old VW Jetta. And she would thought something was terrible with her car. She would pull over and she would look and it was fine. She never found out. The only thing that she could imagine was either fire was coming out of the back of the car, or there was a murderer in the back seat who was about to kill her. She eventually tried to sell the car to a Sesame Street writer for $100. That writer, for a children's television writer, she tried to kill with her car. That writer had the car for a day and then called and left a message on an answering machine. This is how long ago it was. Saying, I cannot buy this car. When I drive around, people honk at me and point in terror. I don't know what's happening. We never did figure it out. Sometimes you have to honk to indicate that someone is causing you danger or there is something going wrong with their car. Someone might be in the backseat trying to murder them. And that is why a horn sounds like this. Ah! It does not sound like, excuse me, or, by the way, I hate you. And the reason this is more than just an issue of etiquette is that when you lay on the horn, it will startle other drivers or other people. It will cause them panic and anxiety, and then they might accidentally become as bad a driver as you are. There is so much that can go wrong. You are always just, and like, you know, when I tell that story about the bikers on the West Side Highway, I am on record on the internet and now on this podcast. Those bikers were in the wrong. But one of the bikers was very seriously hurt. And the dude who drove over that biker didn't go out that day expecting to have to drive over a biker and hurt him and cripple him for life. Right? Anytime you take the car out on a road, even if it's a midnight road in Marblehead, you're inches away from a life-altering event. You know, those skateboarders, let's face it, they were punks. Nothing was going to happen there. But something very bad could have happened because of the really stupid decision I made to move my car 1 inch further than it should have ever gone. And when there is that much at stake, adding anxiety and an additional anxiety and panic to the equation is never a good idea. This obviously includes the act of tailgating, which is the dumbest thing in the world. I don't know if my friend Jim Kenefick from Draycott, Massachusetts, listens to this podcast. He's the only other person I know whose accent rivals yours, Wes, for beauty. Massachusettsian beauty.
Mm. But, very flattered to hear that.
But that dude tailgates. He drives too fast behind the cars and gets too close. The dumbest thing you can do as a driver. You're taking your life in your hands. Anything could go wrong in that car up there. And as soon as it does, as soon as Adam Snapchats Wes a picture of a goofy tree or whatever it was that happened, and he hits the brakes, then all of a sudden my friend Jim Kenefick is dead or crippled for life. Flashing your high beams to get someone to go faster is, I think, a sure sign of utter human monstrosity. And if you have ever done it, and you subscribe to this podcast, may I ask you to unsubscribe? I don't want to ever not hear from you again. It's the worst. Keep your distance from other cars. Honk your horn when you or another is in danger. Or if someone is a dummy and doesn't realize that the light has turned green, you may do this. Burp, burp. Practice that, Adam. Burp, burp. For the rare occasion when you need to use that horn. Burp, burp. And try not to die. Ultimately, though, when you're in your car alone, I can't stop you from doing anything, but I can tell you this. Well, you know what? I can, actually, because you're never in the car alone. You're never in the car alone. You may think you're in the car alone, but if there's anyone else on the road with you, you're there with them. If there's no one else on the road with you, your family is with you, and they will be sad if you hurt yourself and die. And at the very least, there's that guy hiding in the backseat who's going to murder you. He's back there, too. So use the horn properly. It goes without saying that you cannot ever interfere with another driver in the middle of driving ever again. That is well, it goes without saying, so I'm not going to say it except to say it. Don't do it. I think you can flash your headlights when you want to give someone the right of way. In Massachusetts, that's what we do. I think I better figure it out in Louisiana, though, because it might mean something very different. It might mean laissez les bon temps rouler. How about that French accent?
Ooh, that's very good.
This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules that is all.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Let me ask you this, guys. How are you feeling? I will start with you, Wes.
I'm feeling very good. I think the judge made the right call, and I'm glad that Adam is now forced by internet law to lay off the horn a little bit and drive a little less aggressively.
Adam, are you ready to change your behavior?
Yeah, I definitely think being here in New Orleans has made me a little bit calmer. I just hope that Wes gives me control of the radio once in a while, if that can be like our little compromise.
Ooh, I don't know about that one.
If you let me, sometimes I'll stop honking your horn.
All right.
Guys, thanks for taking the time to be on the Judge John Hodgman podcast. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Meep, meep. Meep, meep.
Get off my rear, Judge Hodgman. Jeez Louise.
Meep, meep.
I see you back there. I'm going the speed I'm going. I'm not going to speed up.
That's the Dukes of Hazzard honk.
Soundheap with John-Luke Roberts is a real podcast made up of fake podcasts. Like, if you had a cupboard in your lower back, what would you keep in it?
So I'm going to say mugs.
A little yogurt and a spoon.
A small handkerchief that was given to me by my grandmother on her deathbed.
Maybe some spare honey?
I'd keep batteries in it. I'd pretend to be a toy.
If I had a cupboard in my lower back, I'd probably fill it with spines.
If you had a cupboard in your lower back, what would you keep in it? Doesn't exist. We made it up for Soundheap with John-Luke Roberts, an award-winning comedy podcast from Maximum Fun, made up of hundreds of stupid podcasts. Listen and subscribe to Soundheap with John-Luke Roberts now.
Oh my gosh, hi, it's me, Dave Holmes, host of the pop culture game show Troubled Waters. On Troubled Waters, we play a whole host of games, like one where I describe a show using a limerick, and our guests have to figure out what it is. Let's do one right now. What show am I talking about? This podcast has game after game, and brilliant guests who come play them. The host is named Dave. It could be your fave, so try it. Life won't be the same.
Big Business, starring Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin.
Close, but no.
Oh, is it Troubled Waters, the pop culture quiz show with all your favorite comedians?
Yes, Troubled Waters is the answer
to this question and all of my life's problems.
Now, legally, we actually can't guarantee that, but you can find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ba, 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 ba. That's the honk from 20% of the cars in the neighborhood I grew up in. A solid 20%.
Could someone write in and tell me, what was the name of the car from the Dukes of Hazzard again? I can't believe I can't remember the things I used to remember.
The General Lee.
The General Lee, right. The one, the racist car. Can someone call in and tell me why they welded the doors shut? I've never been able to figure that out.
Was it for structural integrity?
Oh, maybe it's for structural integrity.
They had a lot of concerns about torsion.
Well, I'll tell you something. I am certain. We've been getting some great letters from Judge John Hodgman listeners telling me how wrong I was in 5 or 6 paragraphs. And I really love them, actually. So if someone can write 5 paragraphs or, you know, just like a short essay on why it would be a good idea to weld the car doors shut, let me know. Hodgman@MaximumFun.org. But let's clear the docket.
Here's something from George. Winnie the Pooh. I do not understand this name. Is it Winnie or Pooh? It's like being called George the John. Can you help clarify this? My wife Jillian thinks I should let this rest, but I'm stuck on it. She says it's an unusual naming structure, but does not require clarification. I disagree.
Yeah, no, it's a child. Christopher Robin was a child who named his bear Winnie the name. The poo nonsense words from weird child logic that makes no sense. And the reason that it is an enduring character is that Winnie the Pooh serves as a constant window into the schizophrenia of childhood. The utter mental illness that is childhood. That is why it is named Winnie the Pooh.
My son recently got a DVD of the television program Yo Gabba Gabba for, I guess it was a Christmas gift. And he's taken to naming all kinds of things in his life after the main characters of Yo Gabba Gabba, especially Muno. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the other ones as well. He's often Muno. But he said... Gosh, I'm trying to think of what the characters on. Do you remember the names of any of the other Plex. Plex is the one he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Today he said, I want to bring Plex to school with me. He's 2.5. And he picked up Cookie Monster and showed me Cookie Monster. It's like, oh, God, my branded worlds are colliding.
Yeah.
My child has been so brainwashed that he's cross-branding now.
Yeah, you know, I'm afraid I'm not as conversant with Yo Gabba Gabba. I like to keep it pure for that reason. I'm a pure Mr. Rogers guy. And if you ever want a window into the schizophrenia of childhood, just take a little walk through the land of make-believe.
There's a tiger that
lives in a clock.
With my son, I recently watched an episode of Mr. Rogers where it featured the flying trolley. So the trolley that takes you to the land of make-believe is on tracks.
Yeah.
But it had a cousin from Paris, France, that had a helicopter whirligig on top of it and also had some twinkling bells and stuff like that and flew. And when I saw it on the screen, it was the most vivid rush of nostalgia I've ever felt because... It directly plugged me in to the sense of being, I think this was a Mr. Rogers from 1984, so I would have been 3 years old. Being 3 years old and just thinking, what the F is this? This is amazing. The trolley has transformed. What's going on? Is this the real trolley or the other trolley? Is this a new trolley? The same way I couldn't figure out the difference between Mr. T, the professional wrestler, Mr. T from the A-Team, and Mr. T from the cartoon Mr. T.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, Mr. Rogers, as much as everyone on Twitter delighted on me dancing on his grave recently in the grammar in the grammar episode, where I made reference of the sad fact that Mr. Rogers is dead in a way that ended up being unintentionally hilarious. But Mr. Rogers is the best because he truly understood the weird dream logic of children. And I cannot recommend more highly to parents, especially new parents, to watch Mr. Rogers and dig his wisdom about how children's emotions work and follow his lead and appreciate that this is a guy who knew that if there is a magical trolley that takes you to a world of make-believe, it naturally will have a cousin that has a helicopter propeller on it, and it's from France. Like, only a child or Mr. Rogers could have made that sort of dream logic leap that makes no sense, and yet a child understands it intuitively. Yeah, of course that tiger lives in that clock. Of course he's got a French cousin who lives in an Eiffel Tower across town. Of course Lady Elaine Fairchild, one of the most terrifying creatures on earth, and yet so pitiable. Oh, I tell you, that Adventure Time, as much as I love it, it's got, in terms of the pure psychedelia, it's got nothing on Mr. Rogers.
Can I recommend, I had a guest on my show a couple of years ago named Benjamin Wagner, who made a really lovely movie called Mr. Rogers and Me.
Love that movie.
And I really recommend people seek out that film. It's just, it's a very simple documentary about Mr. Rogers and his life and about Ben's relationship with Mr. Rogers and also the relationship between Mr. Rogers and all of the people whose lives he touched during his life. I mean, Mr. Rogers, as it turns out, the worst thing, Ben told me the worst thing you could say about Mr. Rogers was that his children felt like he loved everyone in the world as much as he loved them. And it's a really lovely thing. And Mr. Rogers is a special dude. I almost started crying just now. Let's get to the next question for the docket. I lived with my current significant other, Alex, for 8 years in Brooklyn. Since then, we've gone on to graduate schools in different places, UMass Amherst and Wake Forest. Since we no longer live together, we depend on our phones as our primary method of communication. Alex still uses a flip phone that he got 10 years ago. He refuses to upgrade. Our conversations regularly end in frustration because I cannot hear him or his phone dies mid-sentence. I know smartphones and data plans can be expensive, but why not upgrade to an inexpensive non-smartphone? Alex has decided he'll only upgrade if ordered to do so by you. Judge Hodgman, will you issue such an order?
Yes, of course. I issue it. Diane wants to talk to you, Alex. I don't know whether you're the one in Amherst or you're the one in Wake Forest. But if you don't upgrade your phone, Diane is going to think that you are running some kind of scam. She's going to think that you're cheating on her. Oh, yeah, I can't talk to you right now. My 2003-era Razor phone just died. Goodbye.
You know, can I recommend...
I think there are a lot of options. Diane should just buy you something. I ordered Diane to buy him a phone. How about that bump?
You know, he could just go to the convenience store and get a prepaid phone known as a burner. And the advantage is it makes it harder for the cops to get up on the wire.
Yeah. What Diane should do is she should drive. Let's say she's at Amherst. Drive down 91, hit 95 in Hartford, and then drive Route 9, Interstate 95 from Hartford to Florida, stopping at every convenience store, buying as many burners as possible, like that one kid did on the wire. And then mail them all to Wake Forest in a crate. That's how you say, I love you, in the dream logic of a child.
I do miss that Razor, though. That had a nice heft.
That was the first nice cell phone I got.
It was a nice cell phone.
I, you know, back when phones were just phones. Yeah. It was good. That was a good one. I liked it. Fit very nicely in a suit pocket. But you know me. I only use CB radios now.
10-4, good buddy.
Roger that.
Our producer is Julia Smith. Our editor is Mark McConville. If you have a case for Judge John Hodgman, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. MaximumFun.org/JJHO. Special thanks this week to Jason Puckett and Dan Friedman, who named our case. Good looking out, Jason and Dan. If you want to name a future episode of Judge John Hodgman, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Jesse Thorne. Hodgman is at Hodgman, H-O-D-G-M-A-N.
Good spelling, Jesse.
Thank you.
You can always catch up with me and all of my tour dates and appearances and things that are going on at johnhodgman.com. And I got some dates coming up in Alexandria, Virginia, just outside of D.C., Los Angeles, Durham, North Carolina, all over the place. Just go over to johnhodgman.com or sign up for the mailing list. bit.ly/hodgmail, H-O-D-G-M-A-I-L. Good spelling, John.
We'll talk to you next time on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Bye-bye.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is a production of MaximumFun.org. Our special thanks to all of the folks who donate to support the show and all of our shows at MaximumFun.org/donate. The show is produced by Julia Smith and me, Jesse Thorne, and edited by Mark McConville. You can check out his podcast, Super Ego, in iTunes or online at GoSuperEgo.com. You can find John Hodgman online at AreasOfMyExpertise.com. If you have a case for Judge John Hodgman, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. If you have thoughts about the show, join the conversation on our forum at forum.maximumfun.org and our Facebook group at facebook.com/Judge John Hodgman. We'll see you online and next time right here on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.